The Unstoppable Way Hampton Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is KAYT-FM. 88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. K223BI. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. K255BT. 100.1 Lake Charles. K261EB. And KQJO-FM. 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi. And online at www.kaytfm.com.
I'm Stanley Mathis, Senior Pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're now listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is an independent outreach ministry of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church located at 2308 Houston Street, Alexandria, Louisiana. We're preaching and teaching the Word of God on a regular basis. Join us now as we enter into our service already in progress.
And King Jehoshaphat barely escaped death himself, and he was able to return to his palace in Jerusalem. And so it came to pass, after all of this happening, King Jehoshaphat soon discovered that trouble was on the horizon and it was coming his way. Verse 2 of the text says, the word gets to him that a multitude of people were coming to fight Judah and to destroy God's people. Jehoshaphat also learned that they were very close to Judah. Now, that was bad news for King Jehoshaphat because he didn't have time to make preparations for the battle. If he had gotten word earlier, he could have sent word and gathered up all of his fighting men and gathered up all of their weapons of warfare. But when he got word that the enemy was close, they were just beyond the horizon. Can you imagine King Jehoshaphat wondering, what shall I do in a time like this? Did God allow this because I was in alliance with King Ahab? What shall I do? The enemy is fastly approaching. They're just over the horizon, and I'm in trouble now. This trouble is a reality for me. My brothers and my sisters, I believe sometimes God sets up problems for a purpose. Not to destroy us, church, but to develop us. I believe that God allowed this problem to arise for Jehoshaphat to teach him a lesson, to show him and to show us that you can't always prepare for what life has to send your way. God wanted Jehoshaphat to understand, and he wants us to understand that not all battles are won with swords and chariots. Sometimes some battles can only be won with spiritual weapons. Many people have tried to fight all of their battles with earthly weapons. But sometimes God allows it to be so that you cannot get to your earthly weapons. And we are therefore left to only depend upon his spiritual weapons. When Jehoshaphat heard about this great multitude, it left him wondering, what shall we do in a time like this? Verse 3 says that he was afraid. He realized that the problem was too close to gather the troops and gather the chariots. What shall we do in a time like this? The text says Jehoshaphat was afraid. But I just do believe that his spirit reminded him that he was the Lord's child and that he understood whenever we don't have the opportunity to prepare in advance in an earthly manner, we must go to our spiritual weapons. My brothers and my sisters, King Jehoshaphat was afraid. But instead of running, he turned to fasting and prayer. The greatest spiritual weapons that King Jehoshaphat had were to fast and pray. The attack caused him to fear, but his fear led him to pray. That's a word from somebody in here today. I know it was a word for me. Fear does doesn't always, Brother Sariel, has to paralyze us. It should push us into the presence of the Lord. If all of our fears would lead us to pray, we would be assured that everything is going to be all right. The text tells us that Jehoshaphat set himself before the Lord and called upon all, A-L-L, of the people of Judah to fast. Fasting is an offensive weapon in a spiritual battle. A fast will put you in the attitude of prayer. Fasting humbles your soul before God. It brings you to a place of dependence, moving distractions and moving pride, making your heart more receptive to God's voice. Now, fasting is not a way to manipulate God, but it's a way to align yourself with Him. It creates space for divine guidance. The text says that Jehoshaphat set himself before the Lord and called upon all of the people of Judah to fast. He was seeking guidance from the Lord, church. See, fasting put the people of Judah in an attitude of prayer. Verse 4, the text says, he gathered all of Judah together. All of the men, all of the women, they came together. All of the men and all of the women, they came together. This is your men and women's sermon for today. All of the men, all of the women, they came together. And all of the children, the Bible says, and all of the little ones. The Bible says they stood before the Lord. They stood before the altar. And their leader, Jehoshaphat, prayed for them. Church, it was not a private response. It was a public call to prayer. And if I can just use my Holy Ghost imagination right now, can't you just see all of them gathered together at the altar, shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, touching and agreeing, united as one, and their leader leading them in prayer? I miss some things in church. I miss some things in the old from the old church. I miss the altar call where we all gather together in front of the altar, shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, together, and our leader praying for us. Church prayer still works. How many know this morning that prayer still works? It doesn't matter what you get yourself tangled up or caught up in, prayer still works. Don't ever get too busy to pray. Our lives are so busy nowadays with work and school and the kids' after school activity, yard work and housework, you name it. You know, too much time on social media, too much time on the telephone, too much TV time, just too busy until we forget to pray. We fail to take time and just have a little talk with the Lord. Well, just know that that little talk with the Lord still works. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you are going through, what you are dealing with. There is still power in prayer. I don't care who you is. Who you are. I don't care how far you are, how difficult they are, how big they are, how strong they are, prayer still works. So we find that Jehoshaphat decides that the best thing for Judah to do is to fast and pray. So Jehoshaphat now begins to pray for the problem that is before Judah. Look at verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he begins to pray. Now, in verse 6 through 13, Jehoshaphat prays, and he gives us a powerful model of a prayer, of praying. He begins his prayer with adoration. He says, O Lord God of our Father, you are the God in heaven. It's a long prayer, church, so when you get a chance, just read that whole chapter. Matter of fact, go back, start with chapter 18. Read 18, 19, and chapter 20. And so when we look at Jehoshaphat's prayer, we find that what he does is he somewhat breaks his prayer down into three parts. First of all, in verse 7, Jehoshaphat tells of God's past faithfulness. He remembers what God has already done. He says, Lord, didn't you drive out the Canaanites? And Lord, didn't you give this land to the seed of your eternal friend, Abraham? Church, if any of you are facing something now, look back at what God has already brought you through. Just look back at what God has already brought you through. It's good for us to tell God, thank you for what you have already done. Thank you for how you have already blessed us. Just look back at God's track record. His track record proves his trustworthiness. Anybody in here trust him today? Is there anybody in here that trusts him today? Trust him with your whole heart. Don't fool me. Now, anybody trust God with your whole heart? I know you do. I know you do. I know you do. I know that God has been good to you. I know that God has healed some of you. I know God has delivered some of you. I know that God has brought you through danger, seen and unseen. Some of us, just think about it, if you be honest with yourself, some of us should have been dead right now. Some of us should have been in a mental institution right now. But God. Somebody say, but God. But God. Thank you, God, for being a long-suffering God. But God. So if he blessed you before, if he brought you through before, he will surely do it again. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. When we know what God did yesterday, it would encourage us in what we face tomorrow. The Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable. That means that he will not change. Jehoshaphat wanted to be sure that he was able to remember the goodness of the Lord. Jehoshaphat looked back at what God had already done, trusting the same God would show up again. Not only does he remember God's past faithfulness, he declares the mighty power of God. He says in his prayer, do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nation? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? In other words, he's saying, Lord, you have all power and all might. You reign above all nations. No one can withstand you. Jehoshaphat is saying, God, we know that we cannot fight this multitude of people. It was the Moabs, the Ammonites, and some of the Midianites, and on and on. Lord, we know that we are not strong enough, but you have all power. Lord, we're just going to remove ourselves from this battle because we know you got it. And a lot of times, church, God doesn't answer our prayers because we do not fully remove ourselves. We close out our prayers.
Thank you for listening to Paradise Ministry. If anything said today was encouraging to you, consider supporting the ministry by sending your tax-deductible love gift to the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 2308 Houston Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71301. Attention Media Ministry. Until next time, God bless you and keep you.